Isaiah 40, 1 through 11, and Mark 1 through 8. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
We're in the middle of this season of the ridiculous and the beautiful. This Christmas celebration of the coming of God into the world as a helpless infant. We're moving towards this ludicrous and tremendous incarnation at Christmas. And then we'll follow the growth, the filling out, the getting to know this vulnerable infant, God, and who he becomes. But first, we visit this birth, this incarnation. And looking at this Gospel of John, starts before Mark's. This Gospel writer starts with this poetic imagining. The words that John writes describe this event, the nativity of Jesus. And they're simply preposterous to use in relation to an infant. They're so grand, they're beyond grand, they're cosmic and foundational. They're all things. They're not just the meaning of life at the beginning of John, they're life itself. The figure of a baby, a vulnerable, little, tiny human, as the incarnation of the creation of all things, is equally as preposterous. Preposterous but not unbelievable. The birth narrative in the Gospel of John doesn't start with the birth of the baby born in a barn to two peasants in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, but it includes it. John's birth narrative starts the beginning, wherever the beginning was or is. It's just a word to talk about a wordless time, the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, the time before creation, because all things that were created came into being through this word of God, who entered the world on this night, sometime past midnight, some 2,000 years ago. John's narrative, his poetic imagining that opens this book, does not end with the death and the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, but it includes it. It includes it in the first five verses of that book. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We know from our faith and the tradition of our faith that this vulnerable, tiny baby grows to be a man and is killed and is raised from the dead. He continues to be the light of the world, the life of the world, the truth in the world, the light which overcomes the darkness, the life which overcomes death, the truth that overcomes the lie. No one knows with any certainty when this baby called Jesus was born, the time of day, or even the time of year. Some say June, but our tradition places it at night in the month of the shortest days and the longest nights. Our tradition places this celebration of the birth of the baby, Jesus, the light coming into the world, into the darkness, at the darkest time of the year. It's no accident that this is celebrated during the solstice. Historically, it may or not be accurate, but theologically, this could not be better. We can remember this night, a night so dark, the darkness so long, and a star shining like no star ever shone. The light in the darkness, the fullness of this life, is birthed in the night. And we celebrate on the night of the long darkness and the bitter cold with warmth and light. We light fires and light candles, and we burn bright. These rituals point to us to the light that is the light of the world and is the hope of all people. Not just on that night 2,000 years ago, not just on a cold December night, but we light candles in the darkness. We tell stories of the light shining in the darkness to remind us for the rest of the year, for tomorrow, for 100 years ago, and 100 years from now. The light that gave life to all things has come into our world, and the darkness did not overcome it, could not overcome it, will not overcome it. And that light gives us permission to love life, and to live life with hope, to be assured always that our hope will not be frustrated, defeated, or in vain. Our hopes will be realized. That life will overcome death. That love will overcome hate. And when we believe this with all our lives, with this hope, we're not being foolish. We're aligning ourselves with the truth that existed before us and continues on beyond us. We read tonight about a character early on in this story, a character that is not the light, a character that spends a large amount of time telling people that he is not the light, telling people that he is not the life, that he is not the truth. He is not the light to all people. This man sent from God, whose name was John, he came to us as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone coming into this world. John points, he bears witness to this light. Now, this light that shines in the darkness, maybe Jesus comes here to find this darkness, to be with us in this darkness, for that's where he's called, to penetrate the darkness from inside, to come to us, to bring life and light in a way that is not first even recognizable to us. It's not a blinding, glaring light, a light that causes us to turn away, but instead it moves with us to take Jesus, it moves us to take Jesus into our arms, that small child, and to bring him to this water where John sits. Why is this man here, John, out here baptizing? Why is this non-priest performing this ritual, which is closely related to temple worship? He's not near the temple. He's out in the middle of nowhere. It's a weird thing to do, and it's unsanctioned by the powers that be. So the priests and the Levites, they're basically like the police, are sent out by the Pharisees to check it out. They arrive and they question him. They say, "Who are you?" And he answers, "I am not the Messiah." If that's what you're thinking, that is what they're thinking. Well, they don't really think he's the Messiah, but they think he thinks he's the Messiah. He wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been the first one. Otherwise, what is he doing? "Then are you Elijah?" they ask. "No." "Are you the prophet?" "No." "Then who are you?" He says, "I am the voice crying out in the wilderness." The what? The interpreters of the Hebrew scriptures who work inside the system, these priests and Levites, they guard the way things are supposed to be. And they understand that the Messiah would be preceded by the return of the prophet Elijah. Also, the Messiah would be preceded by the prophet. But John refuses to place himself, his actions, inside their system. They're trying to figure out what could possibly be this strange man's motivation for doing what he's doing, but they won't tell him, but he won't tell them. Finally, they ask, "If you're not a priest, you're not the Messiah, you're not Elijah or the prophet, then why are you baptizing? Like, who said you could even do this?" John doesn't answer directly, but sort of alludes to the answer. He says, "I baptize with water. And there's one who stands among us who you don't even know, who you cannot even see, will come and baptize with the Holy Spirit." John refuses on any level to provide a legitimate reason for his actions. He's operating across the Jordan, away from Jerusalem, and we will not connect his actions to the religious establishment's understanding of salvation history. It's outside of it, beyond it. He's decidedly outside their system, and he is there to prepare the way for the light, and the light comes from outside the system, always from outside the system, and it shines in the darkness of all the systems we create and the systems that are imposed on us or expected of us. That light turns the unexpected upside down and bids us not to put things right again. The light is an interruption that enables us to glimpse outside the expected. It seems ridiculous, a ridiculous thing to celebrate the possibility that life can be lived in another way over and over again every year, while we have very little evidence that this is true. It is hard to believe, which is why we need reminding every year, every week. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Really? Yeah. It's hard to see the light. So let's look again.